Prepare to be inspired. My name is Alex, and I'm your host for today. So, on this episode of Stay in the Middle of the Sea, we sat down with the Deep Seas team. This group of high school students is developing smart buoys with artificial intelligence to be put in the ocean to detect illegal, unreported, and unregulated fishing. If you regularly listen to this podcast, you probably know that illegal and unregulated fishing is a huge issue when it comes to ocean health. So, in this episode, we talk about the technology that's being used, how these students got into marine conservation with their experience in computer science, and how you, no matter what your job, your background, or your expertise is in, can help the ocean. And so, without further ado, I welcome you to Sustainability in the Sea. We're super excited to have the Deep Seas team on today. There's three of you with us today. Why don't we go around and introduce ourselves and who we are?
My name is Safa Kapana. I'm the team leader for Deep Seas. I'm a junior right now at Lexington High School in Lexington, Massachusetts. And I'm really excited to be here. Environmental conservation and CS are two big passions of mine. And Deep Seas is just an amazing project that we've been working on that I think definitely could have some real impact.
I can go next. I'm Aryev Gogia. I'm at McLean High School in Northern Virginia. I'm a sophomore. And within the team, I'm the lead for hardware.
Great. Great to have you.
Hi, I'm Pranav. I'm a junior at Donningtown STEM Academy. And I'm one of the team members of Deep Seas. And I'm also interested in pursuing computer science and just like having a career in like the computer science and technology field.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to talk to you all and really learn about Deep Seas. So my first question is, what is Deep Seas? Give us a little background.
So Deep Seas is basically a project that we've been working on that aims to solve a problem called IEU fishing. And so what IEU fishing is, just to give a little bit of background, is illegal, unregulated, and unreported fishing. So in a nutshell, it's basically illegal fishing. And so it has two major categories of implications, so to speak. The first being ecological and the second being economic. So from an ecological standpoint, the thing is, most illegal fishing happens in areas that are restricted to fishers, mainly because those fisheries are already overexploited and overfished. And because of that, their fish populations are severely beneath biologically sustainable levels. And so because of that, overfishing in those areas can lead to lots of fish species dying out and a lot loss in biodiversity. And so that's the main ecological problem that we're trying to solve. And on the economic side, a lot of these areas that are being overfished, there are coastal communities that are really dependent on the fishing economy that are affected by this loss in revenue that could happen if fisheries are fully depleted to a point where they can't keep replenishing themselves. And also, a lot of illegal fishing actually happens in the waters of the exclusive economic zones of underdeveloped nations or developing nations. And those nations are particularly reliant on fishing as an industry. And in many of those nations, the populations are also reliant on fishing as a source of protein. And around 3 billion people around the world rely on fish as their main source of dietary protein. And so by doing illegal fishing, not only are you adding to food insecurity by potentially jeopardizing the food supply of those 3 billion people, but you're also adding to economic insecurity, because along with a loss of tax revenue, there's also a potential loss of jobs and other negative side effects that are a result of IEU fishing. So at Deep Seas, we're basically trying to make a low-cost, scalable solution that can try to mitigate this issue by using the technology and skills that we've been developing over the last couple of years.
That's awesome. So Deep Seas is this technology that you can put on buoys, you can put on drones, you can put on other ships, and it's kind of to monitor the oceans, correct?
Yeah, I think that's a great way of putting it in a nutshell. We just aim to make a product that's like easy to mount in already existing places to like minimize cost and infrastructure. And so that's kind of a big premise of what we're doing.
Cool, yeah. So kind of walk us through this product. From my understanding, and we're gonna share with the listeners, that it's this camera with a little computer inside that takes photos, what, every minute, correct?
Oh yeah, about that. So it's basically a device that takes photos of the environment around it and uses AI algorithms that we've developed to essentially detect the presence of illegal fishers in those waters, and then use a special type of communication technology that we're using to essentially relay that information back to a base station and alert coastal authorities of the presence of the illegal fisher.
Cool. So it's basically just to get a visual monitor of what's going on in the ocean. And so how do I put this? It's how do you kind of know who's illegally fishing? Maybe there's some boats that are supposed to be there. Maybe there's some cargo ships. Maybe there's a yacht or an oil tanker. How do we know the difference between these ocean vessels?
That's a really good question. So there are two main ways by which we go about doing that. The first is how we train our model. We train it such that it's trained to detect certain types of fishing vessels rather than some of the other vessel types you mentioned. And the second is that most of the areas that we're targeting with this technology are restricted not only to fishing vessels, but most motor vessels. And part of it is because of the fishing issue, but also other things as well. And so the areas that we're targeting usually don't have boats to begin with.
Okay.
So basically, those are the two main methods by which we try to avoid any false positives.
Interesting. Yeah. And so this is pretty much kind of like groundbreaking technology using artificial intelligence and software learning, correct?
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
And so where are you planning to deploy these? Because you said that there's not really supposed to be shipping traffic in these areas, correct?
Yeah, so there are certain regions of the ocean called no-take zones and marine protected areas. So those are the two main areas in which we're looking to deploy these devices.
Cool. And have you deployed any yet?
We haven't deployed any yet, but we're working on the hardware aspect. We're building a prototype and testing it in lakes and small bodies of water.
Awesome.
Just to test if it can float and the technology can work.
Yeah. And so how is that process going? Like, what have you learned so far through your testings?
Well, one big thing we were kind of worried about was whether the buoy would be able to handle the ocean. Because there's a lot of big currents and many sea creatures that can, I don't know, maybe try to pry open the case and try to play with the technology. We didn't know what to expect, but the person we got the buoy from, they've deployed some of those buoys in the ocean before, and they say it's completely fine. In fact, they were telling me that they deployed one of their buoys in like somewhere in Cuba, and then it landed in Portugal, and it was completely fine.
Wow.
Like some salesmen they took in, they thought like it was tracking them or something, and then they were able to retrieve it, and they saw that the buoy was completely fine. So that was definitely one thing we were worried about, but we learned about after some research and after some testing. Yeah.
That's awesome. And so prior to this technology, how would governments and organizations kind of address the IUU fishing, illegal and unreported fishing?
So there are a few different ways in which they did it. I can go over one of them. And if my teammates also want to go over some, that would be great too. So one of the biggest ones is basically using something called an AIS transponder. So all vessels are supposed to have something called an AIS transponder, which basically through satellite provides the exact geolocation data for any given vessel. And so the thing is, this is a major way by which governments have tried to solve this issue, which is basically using that location data and cross-referencing it with areas in which illegal fishing isn't supposed to happen, to essentially try to figure out if there's illegal fishing going on in the area and what boat is doing it. Mm-hmm. But one of the biggest drawbacks of this technology is the presence of what are called dark vessels. And the reason, it's basically because a lot of the illegal fishing vessels, they either turn off or move their transponders, their AIS transponders. And so those dark vessels aren't able to be tracked by those methods. And only around 15% of vessels that are partaking in illegal fishing have those AIS transponders actually enabled. And so we're trying to basically go after those dark vessels that aren't being tracked by current methods.
Wow, yeah. So we live in Hawaii. And so Papahānaumokuakea is one of the largest marine national monuments in the oceans. And so what I've heard a lot is that you'll be tracking an AIS vessel and you'll see it come to the boundary. And then just all of a sudden, the little dot on the GPS screen will just disappear. And then say 5 days later, you'll see the same dot with the same little code saying that it's this ship is actually out of the other side of the marine protected area. And so, yeah, this is like what you're saying. It's like they kind of just turn off their signals, no little GPSs, and just go dark. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. And we're just trying to make sure that in those areas, like you mentioned, where they just go dark, we like want to make sure that there's some way to still keep them accountable there.
So like another issue would be, or not an issue, one way to mitigate this would be fisheries observers, correct? So observers are humans on a boat, typically with a science background, and they will kind of just monitor what fish is being caught. They'll have a data collection and they'll say, all right, this many tuna were caught, this many billfish were caught, and so on. This many protected species were hooked. And so that I guess that's another instance where you can kind of monitor this type of fishing. But with that said, not every fishing vessel has observers on them, right? I know in the commercial longline fleets out of Hawaii, one of the fleets, only 20% of the boats have these observers on them at any given time. And compared to other fisheries, that is a huge number. But in the grand scheme of things, 20% of one fleet of vessels, so one group of ships, isn't that much, right? I think another one that I kind of thought about too was one that I heard of was having AI guided drones that could like kind of monitor the waters that way. Have you guys heard anything about that or done any research on how those work?
We have heard of some other products or other projects that have tried tackling this issue, and we have figured out their flaws and tried to solve them with deep seas. So for example, there's one like seafood traceability. Some projects like Mazu, M-A-Z-U, mm-hmm. and Atlant Space, they're not very good with their seafood traceability. So we solved that. We solved that problem. Same with scalability. This project can be scalable to other ocean problems, like for example, search and rescue. Like you could detect if there's like a person in the ocean who needs rescuing. So you can do that through object detection. So we definitely solved those problems. And
with regards to drones specifically, I just wanted to add that actually deep seas, when we were first conceiving it, drones were one thing that we were strongly considering. That's where the D in deep seas originally came from. But one of the reasons why we decided to move away from drones, there are two major reasons. The first is cost, because drones tend to cost a lot, not only to purchase upfront, but also to operate. Mm-hmm. And second, because of scalability, and just the scalability, which is basically because when you have a drone doing a pass over an area, after that pass is done, the drone is gone. And so that area kind of gets opened up to these illegal fishers. And drones are also range limited, mm-hmm. because they have to be within a certain area distance from a base station. And the farther you get, the smaller their path can be, because if they have to fly out farther, then they can't do as many passes through a certain area or go cover as much area distance in a certain area, because they've already used a significant amount of their fuel getting to that region in the first place. So that's one of the main reasons why we tried to move away from drones and use this different approach instead.
Interesting. Yeah. So these deep sea buoys, or smart buoys essentially, can float across oceans and kind of just monitor what vessels are in any given area, correct? Are they floating, or are they moored to the ground, kind of stay in one place? What's your idea there?
So this is actually one thing with the testing that we're trying to figure out, whether we'll have to like anchor it to mm-hmm. to the bottom of the floor, if that's even possible in these marine protected areas, because we want them to stay around in these areas, mm-hmm. So then they can detect the dark vessels. So that is one thing that we're thinking about. But if we do like just leave it be in the ocean, then it will kind of be moved by the currents from like from the south part to the north part of the Atlantic. That is something that we are working on.
Yeah, with the currents ripping around, you don't want to lose your smart buoy essentially.
Yeah.
All right, for those listening, what are the next steps? What do you need to kind of get past this testing phase and put these into fruition, start catching these dark boats, and start kind of helping our seas with illegal fishing?
Well, a few things. So first, in the testing phase itself, we're trying to make sure that we minimize false positives and false negatives as much as possible, because we don't want to trigger too many false positives and undermine the confidence in our product by alerting authorities when there is nothing to be alerted about. And so we want to continue iterating on our models and make sure that we're in a place where we feel comfortable and confident giving this as a legitimate tool for authorities to use to catch IUU phishing. And another major thing that we're looking for is essentially also to test out the technology that we have, things like the power consumption of our components, whether our solar panels can support that and things like that. So basically just to make sure the technology works as best as we can get it to. And then the next steps beyond that would be reaching out to local authorities in certain areas that are affected by this issue and kind of trying to move forward with them.
Interesting. Are you planning on going to areas that are heavily hit by phishing kind of first, or do you think that it might be beneficial to start in maybe a smaller kind of more coastal area that has other types of issues, maybe like ship speed limits or something like those along those lines?
I can take this question. So I think like one really good thing about Deep Seas is it's like versatility, kind of like in comparison to its our competitors. It has like a much wider set of tasks that it can, like we can tweak it to accomplish. So I think it's like right now, since we have like all these different like market options, I think it's really beneficial that we can, like with some research and testing, we can find which market like would best suit our technology and like where it would work best. So like right now, it's just like a kind of like a waiting game of testing our thing to make sure it's like our product is our like top product, the best we can put out there, and make sure it's reliable so that when we give it out, get like good reviews. And we also want to like attract attention. So when we're like ready to distribute our technology, we have like already a line of customers that want to work with us and use our technology.
Cool. Yeah, it's so amazing how many applications that this product can handle. It can obviously handle phishing, but like you mentioned, it can handle something like oil spills, maybe container spills where large cargo ships may lose a container and you can find a floating container at sea. Just so many possibilities, which is really cool. And so, as you mentioned from the start, you're all in high school. And when I was in high school, I wasn't thinking about illegal and unreported phishing. Kind of, how did you get here? What made you want to kind of follow this track? For the listeners that are like kind of inspired by this type of work, what would you suggest to them?
I'd say for me personally, and I think this also goes for some of my teammates, it was kind of just that we had a really, really strong interest in conservation and environmental science. It's been something that we've kind of been like continually taught, and it's been an idea that's been pushed onto us from a very young age. And so once we were in high school, and for me at least, once I began learning about CS and AI and kind of self-studying that, at that point, I just thought like, this is a problem that I'm really passionate about, and it's something that I want to try to do something for, even if, and the worst case scenario is just that I end up getting a little bit of practice on a skill that I'm learning right now. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of just how it started for me. And to any listener, I just say that if you have an idea and you have some skills that are willing to learn it, it can't hurt to try. The worst thing that's going to happen is that you're just not going to get it, and you might get a little bit of practice with a skill that you might end up using for something else.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so cool that you're using computer science to tackle a conservation issue. So often we get asked like, oh, do I have to be a marine biologist to work in the field that you work in? Do I have to go through these rigorous schoolings in this very specific niche that myself and Carissa have done? And yeah, clearly the answer is no. In order to protect our oceans, we need everybody. We need this computer scientists. We need innovators. We need artists. We need graphic designers. Everyone has a role to play. And I love that you're proving that right now.
Yeah, definitely. The oceans is very huge, and there's many problems to tackle in the ocean. So we definitely need people of different backgrounds and different skills to help us and to help everyone.
Yeah, definitely. And then kind of for my last question, and I'm going to ask each of you to answer on your own. And we like to ask this to everybody as the final question of the episode is, if you were to put a message on a billboard that the entire world can see, one message, what do you think, what would you say to the world?
I think that there's like so many like messages that the world like kind of needs to hear that it's kind of hard just to like narrow it down to one choice. But I think like a good message would be like, it starts with just one person who takes the initiative and like spends their time trying to find a solution. And with one person, it can get another person, and then it can trigger another person. And what we kind of need is like as you were saying, it takes everyone to like make a change. From computer sciences, marine biologists, it takes everyone like playing their own unique role if we want to like make a big change in the world. And just one group themselves, like even us, we've had to reach out to a ton of different people, like with help on like the marine side and like more on the ocean side. Ever like it, you need a lot of people's help just to make like a change. So I think starting with just one person is already like a big step towards like guaranteeing a better future for us, like for all of us. So I think just saying like it takes just one person to start, and then with one person starting, we can all make a bigger change.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And look at, you have five people on your team that are starting one initiative, one big change, and I can't wait to see where it goes.
One thing I would put would probably be if you find a problem related to ocean and or sustainability, just go try it. Doesn't matter what age you are, or if you have lack of skills, then you can definitely use the internet to hone your skills and to try to tackle the problem. Like for us, we kind of started, we didn't know much about illegal fishing, but we did our research, and just like how Pranav is saying, like we started out as one person and grew into five as a team of five, and now we're tackling a very big issue that's impacting billions of people and depleting billions of dollars. So if you find a problem, just go try and see how it works.
Yeah. For me, I just say one quote that I think I found a few years ago that really resonates with me, and I think I'd want to put up on a billboard, is that you can't afford to live in potential for the rest of your life, and that at some point you have to unleash the potential and make your move. And I think the reason why that really resonates with me personally is just because I feel like everyone has a lot of ideas, things that they want to do, things that they want to pursue. And I feel like there's always some sort of mental block or something that you need to overcome internally to make that happen rather than externally. And so I feel like that message of just saying what you choose to do and what you're able to do is in your hands, and you're able to push that boundary when you feel like you're ready to, I feel like could be really powerful, just because it basically tells people that, be it about environmental conservation or whatever your passion might be, if you are willing to take the step to pursue your goal and solve the problems that you see in the world, then there's a decent chance that you might be able to.
Yeah, I can't agree more. You heard it here first, folks. Just step out of your comfort zone and take a try. All right, guys, thank you so much, and it was great having you.